Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. One American psychiatrist affirmed that if the people in psychiatric hospitals could be convinced that they were forgiven, at least 50% could be released. Obviously, I have no way of confirming or denying his observation, but I would not be surprised if it were true. Believing that God and others have not forgiven us places a great burden on our hearts. We are or should be especially concerned about God's forgiveness. What a great tragedy for men and women to go through this life and to pass into eternity not having the assurance of God's forgiveness. My friends, there is no good reason for our not having that assurance. But apparently millions of people in our world do not have it. Jesus told his disciples to pray to our Father, "Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors." Matthew 6:12. Luke tells of Christ's disciples asking him to teach them to pray. He gave very similar instructions which appear in Matthew 6. But instead of using the word debt, in that context he used the word sin, "and forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us." Luke 11:4. Later in Matthew 6, Jesus used the word trespasses. "If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you." Matthew 6:14 and 15. I know the technical difference among these three words, debt, sin, and trespass, but I seriously doubt any great distinction was intended. The word debt means that which is owed. Generally speaking, it is used of financial obligations. In our context, it almost certainly refers to moral and spiritual indebtedness. When others have sinned against me, I have a moral obligation to forgive when the person repents. The word sin, hamartia, literally means to miss the mark. The word trespass means a false step, falling to one side. All three of these words teach my obligation to forgive others who have sinned against me. When we realize how grievously we have sinned against our God, we should immediately do whatever He tells us to do in order to be forgiven. God has revealed in His Word a plan by which the alien sinner can be justified in His sight. Peter told the Jews on Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2:38. The word remission in this verse is the same word rendered forgiveness. The word literally means to send away. When we repent of our sins and are baptized into Christ, our sins are sent away. If God could forgive the Jews on Pentecost for crucifying His Son, will He not forgive our sins, whatever they are? The erring child of God has not been cast off from God's love and forgiveness. If he desires again to be in fellowship with God, he must repent of his wrong and ask God and those against whom he has sinned to forgive. Simon the sorcerer thought he could buy apostolic power to impart supernatural gifts to others. Peter told the sorcerer, "You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thoughts of your heart may be forgiven you." Acts 8:21 and 22. Have you ever heard anyone say, "I will never forgive him for what he did to me"? My friends, if you are not going to forgive others, you had better not sin. God will not forgive you unless you are willing to forgive others. That truth is taught throughout the New Testament. And what in the world could be more important than having God's forgiveness? Thank you for listening, and may God bless and keep you.